You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to a weekend edition here of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we talk about the Indiana Pacers 5 days a week. Hope everybody's having a good Saturday and treading as much as they can after a disastrous game three, which of course we're here to talk about. As always, I'm one of the hosts of the show, Tony East, with the West Indianapolis Community News and over at 8.9 seconds. I think that's the focus of the entire discussion today, is the game three. If you somehow missed it and this is how you're getting your results of the game, final score: Celtics 104, Pacers 96. You'll never guess, but the Pacers had a quarter where they scored less than 15 points, another 12-point third quarter, played pretty well the rest of the game, but hey, who cares if you play well the rest of the game, and if you have one quarter of the game where you can't do anything right. So, not a catastrophic failure to lose by 8. It is a catastrophic failure to lose at home in a series where you're down 2-0. The Pacers on the brink of their season ending now after another tough loss. And I'll talk about the game, and I have a very big complaint in my second segment here, and then at the end I'll talk about what I expect in Game 4 and what the end of the season might mean. But first, the always fun part of home games that I get to go to is you guys can hear from the players. So I got a little bit of audio with McDermott, Miles Turner, and Domantas Sabonis. So I'll throw those in. I was a little far in the back of Sabonis' scrum, so he may be a little bit harder to hear, but I got to ask McDermott a question. I was right by him and Miles. So stick around, listen to what the players are saying and thinking after those games, and then you'll get my thoughts on the game.
You know, the offense and, we missed some looks, had some in and outs, but they just did a good job of executing on the stretch. You can tell, they've been together and they've, were in some big games, this last year and in the playoffs.
As a player, just how frustrating is it now? You guys are 3 games in, and it seems to be the same outcome down to the wire, and they come out on top.
Yeah, we feel like we've been there every game. We've had the lead, the first 2 games, and then today, we were right there after they put a huge run on us. So it's frustrating, but all you can do is move on, pass the pass. So got to move on to Sunday.
Tug, you guys gave up 41 in the first quarter, but it seemed to be really locked in defensively the final 3 quarters.
Yeah, I think they did a really good job out there. We kind of switched a few things defensively and thought it really worked. And, I thought the defense was good to start the game. They just shot 80%. Some of those were just tough shots. So you got to tip your cap to them at times.
Tyreek seemed to give the second unit a real nice boost there. What can you say about his play tonight?
Oh, he was great. He was aggressive. That's what we need him to do, obviously. And, he was hitting shots. So when he's hitting those, he's tough to guard.
Game 4 coming up on Sunday, what do you guys have to do as a team to force this to 5?
Try not to hang our heads, We've been in every single game. It's not like they're blowing us out or anything. So we just got a great veteran group. We're not going to give in. We're not going to quit. We're built different, and we just got to have a good day tomorrow and, be ready to go on Sunday.
When they start it for 9 like that and you see so many rim out on your side, is that mentally frustrating for you guys to have to come down every time?
Yeah, it's tough. That's basketball for you sometimes. And, like I said, they hit some tough ones. We missed a lot of easy ones, and it's going to happen. Unfortunately, it was, in this playoff game, which stings a little bit.
Was the second half rotation you were out of that one, was that just to get Bojanathet in there more, or how did that go down?
Yeah, for sure. You got to make adjustments as coaches, and as players you have to understand that and respect that. And, I thought those two did a great job.
They did.
You just got to stick with it. You never know when your name's going to be called, so I had to stay ready at all times and, be ready to go on Sunday.
Thanks, Doug.
Yeah, thanks.
So I'll just chime in here for a sec before Domas and Miles. I really appreciated Doug being candid with me about not playing in the second half. I think it was probably the wrong move. I think they should have had him play the 5 minutes he played in the first half just for the rest of Thad and Bojan. Like Trevor Booker did last year, he played about 9 minutes a game after the first game of the series. But it is what it is. And I appreciate McDermott saying, talking about the frustrations of watching your shots miss and their tip, because it's not a coincidence. It's happened every game, but it's really a theme for me, because in all these stinky quarters, it starts off with just a few in and outs, and all of a sudden you're frustrated and the Celtics are hitting. So it is what it is. Now the Miles one and Domas one will just come back to back, because I didn't say anything myself. So just hear from them. Hopefully it's an obvious cut between them.
JJ, thanks. Domas, obviously you're on the floor for those final moments. Where did you see the errors in execution, and where do you feel like you guys could have been better?
we just couldn't execute on offense at the end, and we got a couple stops, but you know, they're a very talented team, and at the end they're gonna end up scoring, so we just gotta do. 48 minutes has been the struggle of the year, and it was a struggle tonight.
Why did you think it was a problem in the third quarter, especially you're coming off a second quarter, which is maybe your best offensive quarter of the series?
I don't know. You know, it's been the third quarter all year long. You know, and we got to find energy somehow. We got to do a better warm up, something. You know, we got to come out with better energy.
It seemed like when you guys were struggling, the shot clock was winding down. Is it a case at all of not getting into your sets quick enough?
Yeah, I felt like we were settling. You know, we could have kept moving the ball. You know, take our time. There's 24 seconds shot clock. You know, we gotta take the best shot, not the quickest.
Obviously, you can't control this with Victor out. But what's the challenge of not having a guy like Oladipo when they have theirs in their venue?
You know, Vic opens a lot for us. You know, when he's on the court, he just attracts so much attention. He does a great job of reading, opening open guys. You know, for open looks, and we missed that. But you know, everybody's been stepping up since he's been gone, and I trust in my teammates, and we're going to come in fighting some.
Resiliency has really kind of been the theme of this team the last couple of years. There's no better example of when you'll need it here going forward and into game number four. Where do you sense the team is mentally, and what's going to take here in game number four and going forward? The
most important thing is no matter what's going on the court, we got to fight. We got to fight till the game is in. We can't give up, you know. You just got to keep fighting. Treat it like it's your last game.
Domantas Sabonis, back to you,
Dave. Is that your focus to try to open the floor a little bit for you guys?
They're doing a great job of packing the paint when I roll, you know, so I'm trying to spread the court open and try and be more aggressive, you know. I just got knocked down those shots.
And speaking of knocking down shots, Al Horford in that fourth quarter, you guys are actually packing it and taking away from Tariq and those kickouts to Horford. Was that pretty much, as well as the third quarter, the difference in the game that down the stretch, once again, they not just executed, but they made the shots at the end?
Yeah, you know, Kyrie's the best player, so we're all packing the paint, you know, trying to help out Corey, Wesley, who's ever on him, you know. Yeah. And then, you know, they're a very talented team. They got a lot of weapons. And Kyrie just made the right read and passed it out to Horford.
Just the frustration you guys are feeling right now, heading into game four now.
No. What do you do, man? Just show up. Series isn't over. And, you know, hope for the best.
Can you pinpoint what it is that's going to really have to change here?
Our end-of-game execution. That's all it comes down to. We're playing good enough defense to win games, but we got to score. Can't keep having quarters where we score 8, 10, 12 points, you know. It's going to come back to bite us.
How frustrating has it been just going back and forth in these past three games with the same outcome?
It speaks for itself. I can't answer that wholeheartedly.
Is it a big deal for you guys to not be swept in the series? Is that,
It's a pride thing. Yeah, let me cut you off. It's a pride thing. You know, you don't, you know, getting swept is just a punch in the gut, you know.
For you, what do you anticipate the next 36, 48 hours are going to be like?
It's dark time, man. It's just, you know, you got to take it for what it is. You know, down 0-3, back against the wall, what are you going to do with it?
Miles, what needs to change about the offense to avoid these?
I don't know. We got to watch film and figure it out. I can't tell you right now.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Thank you.
I hope you guys enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break and I'll talk about it and the game as a whole. So I enjoyed Turner talking about pride. You know, it's like a weird thing for game four, and I guess this should go on my last segment, but I hope they don't just keel over and die. You know, I know that the series is effectively over. I mean, coming back from 3-0 is pretty much impossible against a more talented team, but I hope they can get one, both for narrative sake, because they're not the better team. They're going to lose the series. We all knew that before it started, especially without Oladipo, but I hope they can get one, just to get one. It is what it is, though. Everybody just seems frustrated. Like, I feel like they know they're executing well for significant portions of games, but not enough of the game, it is what it is. Tyreke Evans was on the podium and basically said the same thing. He's like, we're playing three good quarters and not four good quarters, and he was the only guy with the right to say that, and as I talk about this game, I think that's a good starting point. Again, another game, this might be I mean, I write about this in grades every time I have the chance, but one guy over 50% shooting from the field, Tyreek Evans, he was really good in this game when he was in that fourth quarter and second quarter he had were both phenomenal. Not phenomenal. They were both very good, and he looked like, you know, the best bench player on the team. He was getting to the rim. He was actually hitting his outside shot. He had 4 of 6 from deep, getting to the line. The only guy who had any energy could get to the rim. He's hard to guard for the Celtics, and no one else is hard to guard for them, really, because no one can create their own shot. He was really useful in that quarter, and then he got pulled with about 4 minutes to go, and I thought they should have left him in the second, but I understand it more so in the first half from a rest standpoint and a rotation standpoint, especially when you have this comeback and you take the lead into the half. So the first quarter, they gave up 41 because the Celtics were just scorching from three. They hit 8 of their first 9. If the Celtics score 32 in the first, which is still an insanely good quarter, the Pacers win this game. So that speaks volumes about how good the Celtics' first quarter was. But the Pacers came back in the second because they played, their shooting regressed. Their D was still solid, and Tyreek led their offense. And then they did fine to end the quarter. They have the lead at halftime, mostly thanks to Tyreek and some good defense there. So I was pleased with how the first half went as a whole, because it's really hard to criticize that 41-point quarter because of how insane the shooting was. The strategy was they were going to blitz Kyrie out of pick and rolls. You know, they were going to make him pass the ball. So a couple of those threes were really open, and that was by design. I don't think they planned on them hitting literally all of them, but so they were willing to concede some of those. But then, you know, Wes Matthews started to like super deny the ball, and all of a sudden Jaylen Brown is hitting every three he takes. Literally, I think he only missed one shot in this game. Yeah, he was 8 for 9, 4 for 5 from deep. Marcus Morris is hitting his three. It was just ridiculous how many threes they piled on in that first quarter, about half of which I would say were pretty heavily contested. And then in the third quarter, it happened again, where this team just cannot put the ball in the basket. It just is the most ridiculous trend ever, where they just implode on themselves. They start off not making shots. You can kind of feel the tension, even as a viewer, of like, oh no, they're going slow. They're getting into their offense really late. And I tweeted yesterday, I think they need to go faster because of this. They just get into it late, and then their action dies, and they're throwing up some crap on the shot clock. It's not going in. And then they keep missing, and then it rims out, and they're frustrated, and it just snowballs and snowballs and snowballs, and it's a total disaster. And it was, again, 12 points is a mess. This was in my grades column, too, which, depending on what time you wake up, may or may not be out already. Anyway, between this third quarter, where they scored 12, the fourth quarter in Game 2, in which they scored 12, and the third quarter of Game 1, in which they scored 8, that is 32 points, which the Celtics had 41 in the first quarter of this game. I mean, it's just nuts how horrible these offensive quarters have been for the Pacers. Now, this time, they were able to weather it a bit more because, like I said, in the fourth quarter of Game 2, the worst part of that quarter was their defense to me. They gave up 31 in the slowest quarter of the game. The Celtics were hitting everything. They had 10 points in, like, 5 minutes at the end of the game. This time, their defense was okay. They only gave up 21. They went into the fourth down by, I think, 7, which is fine. It's not what you want, but you can live with 7, and then now you can battle in the fourth, and they cut it to 1 at one point in that quarter, which is great. I thought they were in striking distance. They were looking okay, and then the Celtics' lead went up a little bit. I want to figure out exactly what it was, and then I want to rant. So Tyreek, Thad, Kojo, Sabonis, and Bojan are in the game to start the quarter. And then Wes Matthews comes in for Thad. And then Bojan immediately comes in for Thad. Wes Matthews comes in for Thad, and then Bojan immediately comes in as well, or comes out as well. And they're doing okay still. They're weathering it. They get it to 88-86, and then they get it to 91, I think, 91 to 90, I think, is as close as they got it. Anywhom, they get it close. They're down 2 with 5 minutes to go. And then they sub out Corey Joseph for Darren Collison, which Collison did not at all have a good game. Actually, I'm going to back up and go to a better point. With 5 minutes and 20 seconds to go, they took out Tyreek, who was easily the best offensive player, as I've said, in this game. The game was just a one-point game. It's still a four-point game. You're still running it. And they sub in Turner for Tyreek. I've just explained this so poorly. They bring, basically, They had Tyreek in there doing good stuff, and they bring in Turner for him with 5:19 to go in the quarter in a four-point game. So now it's Turner, Sabonis, Kojo, Bojan, and Matthews. Kojo is a good defender. I get why he was in. He's better than Collison in this series in every game by a long shot. Collison's been atrocious. Bojan's been your best offensive player for forever. Matthews can shoot, and he's a good defender. And the two bigs are what they are. So, like, in that way, the lineup is fine. But Tyreek had to be in the game. He was easily the best offensive player they'd had all night. It made no sense to sub him out at all. Just a complete waste of a sub. Anyway, they immediately cut it to two because Sabonis had two free throws, so I look stupid right away. Then Bojan turns it over, and Kyrie scores, and then they take a timeout, and they put Collison in, who's been so much worse than Kojo. It was a four-point game when Collison came in. It ends an eight-point game because they just couldn't win those minutes. Wes Matthews misses a layup. Sabonis gets free throws. Al Horford hits two shots, and then there's your game. You're down seven with under 3 minutes to go, and it just felt helpless. They brought Thad in with 2.5 minutes to go, basically, but that whole three-minute stretch just felt like the worst use of the players you had. Tyreek was playing a good game. Darren Collison was not playing a good game. And Turner was playing better than Sabonis. Sabonis has quietly had a rough series, but Horford is just beasting him. I don't know necessarily that it's anything beyond the limitations of Sabonis, not that he's, like, actively playing bad. I guess those are kind of related, but you know what I'm saying. So I think that was just a complete blunder of a quarter by Nate to have the rotation be that way. And it's easy to coach in retrospect or easy to be opinionated when things aren't working, but just I think the wrong guys were out there a lot in that quarter, and he's very rigid with his rotations. He's always been that way. I didn't get it on sound, but Thad Young in the locker room was asked about him being subbed out and in at certain times in the fourth quarter, and he basically just said, "We have a rotation," which is his diplomatic answer of saying he didn't. I don't know if he agreed with the decisions. I don't know that he did or didn't agree. That is my read on why he said what he said. So, not what I would have done. I would have had McDermott in there at the very start of the quarter, too. I would have had Tyreek ride it out the whole time. I probably would have gone with Turner at about the 7 minute mark. Maybe a tiny bit after. Either way, it was a 4 point game around that whole time. I think it was a 2 point game actually at the 7 minute mark. Yes, it was. So going with Turner earlier, and then maybe Sabonis if you need it. But I think the only musts for me in the fourth would have been Tyreek, Sabonis. God, I can't talk. My only must in the fourth would have been Tyreek, Bojan, and Miles. Sorry, it's 1:45 in the morning. I'm a disaster right now. And then the other two guys, probably defensive guys. So Kojo, Thad, but Wes was in there not doing much. Collison was in there not doing much. Thad was in and out not doing much. And it was just a complete blunder. That was the game to me. They could have come back and they had the wrong guys out there. But it's easy for me to coach from the sidelines. I'm not a coach. I don't game plan and all that. Not to defend Nate, because clearly it didn't work. It was the wrong decision. It's easy for me to do it in inconsequential is the narrative here. The McDermott decision was interesting. He did nothing with his minutes in the first half, but I think you have to have him in there just to rest Thad and Bojan. They played 76 minutes combined. That's only 22 less than the whole combined amount they can play from their two positions, which they're both very good and important, but I think it should be probably like 36 or 38 each, not 40 for Bojan. So, and Bojan, 15 points on 17 shots, could look tired in the fourth quarter. So it's over. There's nothing they can change about it, but I think the rotation was bad. I think the third quarter was bad, and I think bad luck in the first quarter all collectively just bit them in the butt. And now we're here, 3-0. They have to win 4 in a row to win the series, which seems very improbable. But you never know. Let's talk about what could be the end of the season in Game 4. I just don't know what Pacers team we're going to see on Sunday, because they have all the reasons to be thinking like me and you, which is they're done. We know it. Like, it's never happened before. 3-1 for the Cavs in that finals, or the Warriors in that Western Conference Finals immediately before said finals, were just nuts. Like, it took an impossibly good Klay Thompson game, and then Draymond kicking some dudes in the nuts, and then, you know, just all this culminations of events for 3-1 to even happen. And that is for two of the better teams, like, ever. The Pacers are not one of the better teams ever. This team was built to play around Victor Oladipo, and they don't have him, and they just don't have enough altogether to make it happen. They've gone with this by committee approach to scoring and all that this whole time since he's been out in the playoffs, and it worked well enough in the first time he was out, and 10-14 with the schedule they had after the All-Star break is fine given their players, but they don't have enough for the Celtics, They don't have enough without the guy that the team was built around, and it's not going to happen. They're just going to lose, and that brings me back to what I started with, is do they think the same way? I'm sure realistically they know that they're probably done, but I think we're going to learn a lot about the character of a lot of these guys on Sunday if they come out and say, you know, we have pride to gain. Let's win a game. Let's spin the narrative to we were just less talented, not, you know, we were completely outclassed, because I think that that's two different conversations. Miles Turner talked about playing for pride, so I imagine he's going to do well. He's actually had a pretty good defensive series. I think he's been the better of the two centers up to this point, and I imagine that will continue. But I think a lot of guys stand to prove a lot of things. If Tyree can have another good game, that would give him pretty much an entire good series if they lose. And if they win, that's four straight good playoff games. I mean, he was only okay in game one. Either way, that looks good for a guy who's had a dreadful year. In terms of his valuation. Same with Sabonis, who's had a rough series. He can stand to gain quite a bit from a good game four. He turned it around last year in game four. Corey Joseph's been good all series. He's got some to gain. Darren Collison's been terrible all series. He's a lot to gain. Wesley Matthews can hit some, you know, just a lot of guys have a lot they can prove, which helps with their future. It helps with them getting money. Bojan is a guy, like, if he has another game three like last year, he'll probably earn $1 million from this game. So I think given all that, they'll come out fighting, and if they don't, that we have to blame them, because obviously they lost the game, but I think you have to say, you know, they knew they had no chance and they just mailed it in, which sucks, and it will say a lot negative about them, and it rightfully should, but it is what it is. The Celtics are going to win. I don't know. That's the other thing, is I don't know how much fire they're going to come out with. Do they really want a ton of rest against the Bucks, or do they want to win it at home? I mean, those things are on your mind all the time as a player. So we'll see. But the series just did not pan out the way any of us wanted it to. The team's just not good enough. They're not good enough without Vic. They have a talent deficiency. They have the worst coach of the two. They didn't have home court advantage. It's just not happening. And, you know, we kind of, Adam was hammering on it more than me about the, you know, they have the better talent, the home court, the better coach, all that before. There's no way the Pacers win. I thought they could get a win or two. I thought they would do better. Not to say, you know, the games have felt closer than the results are. They've been in the games, but they're just, it is what it is. I think, we're about to be at the point where we're pivoting to the future. And we start having to talk about that. But we'll see you on this weekend. Adam and I will talk after game four to see if there is a game five. I'll probably talk to Corrales. God, I'll never say his name right. After that game, too. We were supposed to talk tonight, but it ended so late. It was crazy. But I'll probably talk to him, too, from Celtic standpoint. So stick around for that, too. Another fun week of content coming here. Thank you all so much for listening. Our last episode before this one was episode 500 of Locked On Pacers. I don't know if you saw that. I tweeted that. You're all amazing for helping us get that far. It's unbelievable. We couldn't do it without you guys. Just incredible how supportive you all are. So thank you so much. Here's to 500 more, starting with the end of the season and beyond. As always, you can follow the show at Locked On Pacers on Twitter to see when all episodes drop and stuff like that. Thank you guys so much for listening, and have a great rest of your weekend.